The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
I started to question myself if I was watching Lucha Underground and I had accidentally flipped over to Cinemax.
Not a whole lot of faces shown as far when it comes to Brenda, so.
Yeah.
You're spot on there, buddy.
This is the house that AJ Styles built.
You know, like Nakamura, he's just such a great star. It doesn't matter what you do with him, people are going to cheer for him.
Did you feel the gloriousness? Did you feel it? Bobby Roode did his job.
This is insane how great they are.
Well, I think the authors of Pain are young prodigies.
That's how good we are.
Representing Bullet Club, this is what we do.
Super Kid Putty, it's Japan!
I want, but not Maharaja, Jinder Mahal. I need to beat Jinder Mahal. I want WWE title. WWE title, championship.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max, episode 261, part 2. And of course, we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. Hey, don't forget, you can go rate, subscribe, and review over at Wrestling to the Max, wherever you get your podcast from. Maybe it's YouTube, maybe it's Apple Podcasts. It doesn't matter. All that matters is you do that for us. And of course, that gets you all our great content and wherever you prefer, really. Also, make sure you go and check out 411mania.com as well as lastwordonsports.com. Those both have us on your websites, and we want to thank him for sure. We really appreciate our partnership with those sites and everything. We need to make sure they get some love here. Also, you know, maybe you want to go check out all our review shows we do. We do a ton of them. We do NXT, Raw, SmackDown Live, 205 Live. Those are also available for you guys. If you don't get a chance to listen to them every week, they are there for you and ready to rock. And that's basically the rundown for us tonight. So, of course, I am your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, guys, we have a great show in store for everybody tonight. I'm really looking forward to this. We've got some news on Asuka. That's right. There's some big things coming out, and we've heard about it, so we're going to talk about it. Spoiler alerts will be taking place there. Also, we'll be talking about some injuries. That's right. We've got an injury that we just heard Big Cass had. We'll give you the results on that, along with an update on Ric Flair and a lot of other great wrestling news, so you guys don't want to miss it. We're also getting into something that WWE banned. That's right. So you're going to want to be listening to this if you're going to live events in the near future. It is a kind of a sad thing, maybe, or maybe a very happy thing for a lot of people. Besides that, we'll be jumping into some Lucha Underground tonight, as well as some Global Force Wrestling. That's right. This week's Impact had a lot going on, so we'll be jumping into both of those shows. And, of course, crowning a superstar of the week. So we've got a packed show for you. I am super, super looking forward to it. So there you go. Well, guys, we're about to jump into this stuff, and I'm really stoked about talking about this week in wrestling. But before we do, I've got to say one thing. I got to thank both my co-hosts here. I want to thank Sean Garmer. You know, Sean, me and you do a lot of shows together. You know, we do a football show and the wrestling show, and I had a lot of things going on, and I appreciate you letting me take the night off from the football show tonight. And so I want to say thank you for whatever, all the things you do for the show. And of course, all the stuff behind the scenes that no one ever even knows about. So I just want to say thank you to you. And of course, Paul, you definitely helped me out. You saved my life and you covered me because I had some personal things going on and I had to get them done. And you helped me and Sean both do 205 and SmackDown Live when you really didn't have to. So just want to throw some love over there to you too, man. I really appreciate both of you guys had a pretty crazy week, so yeah.
Yeah,
that's what we're all here for, right?
Yeah. You know, it was kind of funny. I'm not going to keep it in the dark. What I did really was I had a big event over there at the University of North Texas, and I have a college and career group I'm a part of, and I lead it. And so I'm going to hand it out some, you know, cards and stuff. We're going to give away a tablet and all this kind of stuff and just kind of have a good time at the university. But, yeah, it kind of took some time out of my day, and it kind of put me belated on watching Global Force Wrestling and Lucha Underground and stuff like that, like to do for this show. So it kind of pushed us back. But I'm telling you, man, every time I go to that university, I did graduate from there, and I kind of feel older and older every time I go, and it's so sad. It makes me want to cry, guys. So if I'm a little depressed at times, no, that's just me crying over my age or something. It's depressing.
I still drive by where I went to high school and middle school and elementary school every once in a blue moon, so you preach to the choir, buddy.
Well, it's just so unfair. I mean, when me and Sean went to the University of North Texas, I you know, we had these, you know, nice little places to go on campus, but I go up there now and it's like they have the freaking Mall of America there. I'm like, good God, this is way bigger, badder. I mean, it's amazing compared to what I was used to. I got lost. So and that, I knew that campus by the back of my hand. I basically lived on that campus. So just a note to people, you know, like, once again, if you start to hear me kind of sob a little bit, it's just me realizing.
I don't even know. I'd love to see what it looks like just because, yeah, it's been a long time since I've been there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had you basically just hung out on Fry Street, or you were in your dorm, or you know, you walked around the campus, and it didn't seem that crazy. But hey, yeah, things change, right?
Mm-hmm. It has to. And we talk about that in the world of wrestling all the time, right? Things get evolve, and, you know, we just have to get used to those new changes. So it's just the way the world works. So enough about me on my soapbox and talking about my age. Let's move on and let's get into what we're here for, and that's to talk some wrestling. So we are going to jump into some quick hits, and we're going to do that next.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
All right. Well, guys, let's talk about the big thing that I think is on everybody's mind if they've looked at wrestling news. And, of course, we come out Friday morning, and if they didn't see it on Thursday night, they're either listening to us talk about it or they've already seen it this morning. But what's interesting is that Asuka on NXT TV tapings that happened Thursday night, they actually had something big go down, and that is Asuka relinquishing her NXT women's title. Now, this is voluntary, and the reason that they gave is the fact that she is negotiating with both Raw and SmackDown, and that is a big deal, because a lot of us, you know, this past, you know, Tuesday on our Tuesday show kind of talked about, well, you know, she's going to stick around a little longer, and this injury is not a big deal. They'll just miss it, you know, some TV tapings, and they'll keep her around. But now, yeah, it's not that way. And I know, Sean, I got a halfway right and a halfway wrong, because I said that she could be stripped of it. Well, that's not true, but she did lose it. How, you know, do you think this is going to go down? Are you sad? You bummed? Are you happy? How do you feel about this whole situation?
Well, I said I wanted this to happen, right? That she doesn't lose the title to somebody. She just goes and either gives it up like Paige did, or she just shows up on WWE TV with it. But this injury also kind of helps that in a way happen. You know, hey, look, it's her time, right? She's beating everybody. Nobody else is there for her competition. She kind of doesn't really need to be there for the Mae Young Classic, and whoever else is going to come with that. That's kind of a new generation of women coming in. Let the ones that are going to stick around deal with that, and how NXT is going to sort all that out. She should be on the main roster. hopefully she gets treated the same way, though we've seen that nobody really ever gets to, aside from Samoa Joe probably, and Nakamura to an extent. So, you know, I just hope that Vince sees the same thing, and she could be, you know, not just, hey, first thing you do is lose when you get on the main roster or whatever, and when she has these big matches, they mean something.
Me and Gary talked about this on our NXT review too, and Gary expressed a fear similar to yours, and I'm going to bring up the same point I brought up there, in that the last time they really did this with somebody who had a big name was Kevin Owens, who came up still NXT champion, and really got to essentially skip the line and go right to the main event because he got instantly into a feud with John Cena over the U.S. title, and it led to a whole bunch of big stuff for him that has put him where he is today. I would think they would do the same thing with Asuka. She's got this whole big hubbub going on from being in NXT and being undefeated and all these other things, and it would just be silly to have her come up and instantly lose to somebody. So I think she ends up on Raw. I think she ends up probably instantly challenging for the Women's Championship, and they'll go from there. But as far as NXT goes, it really does open up a lot of doors for people to step up and really try to get their acts to that next level and build up some more, hopefully. So I'm really looking forward to see what they do down there.
I think that there's an opportunity here for them to really showcase someone that is diverse and someone that is just on a different playing field than a lot of these other women that we have on Raw and SmackDown. And that's the cool thing about this whole process. The one thing is, you know, once again, you know, Paul, you're really trying to do a good job of, you know, convincing us that they really do have the best interest in for Asuka. But I just, it's so scary, and it just makes you wonder and have all those questions, because we have seen those people that have struggled, and I don't know. I mean, I think that there's a lot more positives with Asuka, because I really don't think that Triple H would have said, hey, yeah, take away one of my big staples in my promotion down there in NXT, just so you can just basically have her flounder around. I don't think that's the case, because we've talked about on this show before, that was one of his, you know, girls. Like, he wanted to keep her on that show for a long time, and really probably honestly still wants her there. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of said, Vince, okay, here, you can take her. I'm sure there were some stipulations.
But that's the thing, though. Triple H doesn't. If Vince wants to take somebody, no matter what Triple H says, it's going to happen.
Well, right? Also respect. They, you know,
it is a respect thing. But there's been how many times have we seen where they have a problem with how somebody got booked? You know, because Vince doesn't understand that that person needs to be booked that way, and that person, you know, was booked this way in NXT, and now that, you know, you kind of main roster, and they're not booked the same way, so then Vince doesn't understand why they don't get over. Mm-hmm. And or you know, you have to go like the extra long mile to get them over because Vince wants to do it his way or whatever, you know. That's the thing. I hope that she's treated that same way, and I feel like she's going to be. It's just, there's always that trepidation when you go to the main roster. You never know what you're going to get, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think people are going to be excited for her. I would say that there is a possibility that she wants, even though, yeah, SmackDown's kind of gotten everybody new right now, there is that possibility that she could wind up on SmackDown because she has fresh matchups everywhere, whereas on Raw, she would have to probably wind up facing a Nia Jax and a Bayley that she already has history with, and maybe they don't want to redo that again. But the bigger impact, I guess, could be felt on Raw, where you have the, you know, she comes in and just destroys Nia or something. I think that sends a message, but, you know, she could run roughshod all over SmackDown, and that sends a message as well, so it kind of depends on what what they want and where they feel the star power needs to be.
I mean, in my opinion, Raw is, I think, a little bit... It's struggling a little bit in my mind, because you really have Alexa Bliss, and then I think you sort of have everybody else sort of trying to figure out what to do with them, whereas SmackDown has at least kept all their women involved in something, and they legitimately all feel like they could do something at any time. Plus, they have the Money in the Bank briefcase over there. They have a whole bunch of stories going on over there. Raw doesn't really have that, and I feel like you bring Asuka over there, it's an immediate talking point for that division. It's something that would really help them out, and it just makes much more sense to put her there, in my opinion, even though I would love her to be on SmackDown. I just feel like Raw is in her future.
Yeah, I just can't wait for that music to hit on Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a big deal, you know, and I kind of agree with you on that. I think, you know, SmackDown got their number one person in Bobby Roode, so it's time for Raw to get their number one draft pick, you know. And I'm looking forward to seeing both of them, you know, seeing what they do from this level of NXT to the main roster and how they're used, and really, honestly, if they can progress even more. So let's talk about some people that may be leaving the main roster and leaving the company altogether. I don't know. There's rumors, at least. Apparently, we've basically heard a lot that Lana and Rusev are asking out of their contracts and want their release from WWE. Now, Lana has shot these rumors down, but, you know, we've kind of had that happen before. You know, they try to taper down the rumors. But what we think right now is the fact that WWE still has, you know, some plans in mind, but who knows? I mean, what we're hearing is, you know, Randy Orton won quickly against Rusev at SummerSlam because he had lost previous pay-per-view matches. So they wanted him to look strong, and then now they're going to have a big feud between him and Rusev. So maybe this thing all isn't dire. Maybe this whole thing of them leaving is just a smokescreen or something, or maybe they really do want to leave. I don't know, Paul. I don't know how to really think about this.
You know, I mean, there are also rumors floating around out there that that Rusev asked, and he's also been denied his request for release as well. So I guess you can take that for what it's worth, too. But I don't know, like, I feel like them leaving together makes sense, at least on their end, right? Because you're married and you obviously want to be at the same place at the same time. If you're in wrestling, it just makes things easier and all this other stuff. And, you know, I don't know. Rusev has certainly gotten a short end of the stick more often than not. If you ask me, when it comes to booking, I could understand his frustrations if he wants to leave, because he hasn't been used very well at all since he came back. And I don't know really what you could do with him going forward in the same gimmick he's had basically the entire time. So I feel like leaving might do him well, just because there's so many other places to work and he could fit in basically anywhere, because, I mean, I think he's a very talented wrestler. I think he's good on the microphone for sort of what he can do in the role he's been slotted in, but we haven't really got to see him stretch out all that much either. So there's a lot of unknowns out there, and I mean, we could be talking about another Cody story here of somebody who just bets on himself to leave and suddenly turns into something great, or he just sticks out in WWE until the contract's over and then resign. There's a lot of ways to go. If you're Rusev, if you're WWE, obviously, I think you'd want to keep him, too. This is a guy who's made a lot of noise in the past couple of years. You don't want him going to a competitor, so maybe you make him stick out the contract and see if you can't do something with him. Or if you're just that offended that he asked for his release, you can just job him out like they're going to do, and we can all just be upset.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand both ways to looking at it. You know, I would definitely hate for him to be jobbed out, but especially if they're wanting to prove a point, hey, you can't just, you know, do all these things like Lana and Rusev and make us look bad, or maybe make us change our booking because of your personal life. We're going to show you what it's like, and then do you get what Rusev's going to get, or other things? I don't know. Sean, I mean, this is really interesting, and I don't know if I kind of think I may agree with Paul on the fact that them leaving would actually do themselves better, but who knows?
You know, like, we kind of already know that they're probably not going to do any more than they're already doing. right? I feel like there's no way WWE just lets Lana walk. There's too much invested in her. Not to mention those two are great on Total Divas. But beyond that, I think it's just Vince sees a lot in Lana. Just right now, I feel like they don't know what to do with that character because she can't wrestle like the other ones. So it's, or the other women on that roster. So it's a very difficult kind of thing to play around with at that point. And they can't have her do the Eva Marie thing because you already sort of did that and you killed it. And this thing with Tamina is sort of up and down, whatever it is. So with Rusev, it's just that's been lost for a long time. And I don't know if it goes back to the whole Vince isn't a big fan of the way this all went down with them getting married and everything, and that kind of killed what he was trying to do at that point with them. And now he kind of just doesn't know what to do with them because, well, now we split them up and still feels like neither one's going forward here. So, okay. And I totally get it on Rusev and Lana's part. Is, you know, Lana could probably go get more movie roles or do anything, you know, whether she wants to sign with somebody else or, you know, she doesn't really need WWE, I don't think. You know, and Rusev would probably just be fine just being in, another company where he's not going to be, I guess, looked at as a failure or whatever it is at this point, because it sucks. Like, Rusev's such a great personality, and he's funny. The dude is a heck of a talent of a wrestler. Just like, I hate to see that if he's going to just sit there for like another year just losing, how much that sucks.
I agree. And here's the thing. If I'm WWE, of course I'm not, and things would be a lot different probably. But if I'm making those kind of decisions, I would look at it and say, look, we really just don't have anything for these two. Maybe we do have something for Lana because we've kind of having, you know, her do this thing with another woman, which is like Tamina, and having her play kind of a manager again. But on the other hand, I'm using a guy like Rusev, who I once was really interested in, you know, having in big matches. Now I've kind of lost that love, and I'm just going to use him in these mid-card and squash matches where he's not really doing anything. Why don't I just go ahead and let them go, release them of their contracts, have that other money, you know, available, and then all those guys I'm bringing up and maybe some more free agents, that fund's there. I've always kind of thought that was kind of funny that they didn't, you know, really think about those kind of things and just let the talent they don't want, let them go. Why hold on to them? You know, I don't know. I get you do have to worry about the competition. But WB usually says that don't worry about the competition. So I don't know. To me, it's easy. If you don't want them, don't use them and get rid of them. So, let's talk also about some more rumors going around. And this one's, you know, kind of interesting because this is a situation that I think we've kind of touched on a little bit here and there. But there are other rumors that we got a certain person Baron Corbin. And Baron Corbin is a guy that we really honestly have heard some things backstage, right? That people have kind of not really been a big fond of him. They've kind of thought he was kind of arrogant, kind of cocky, kind of like his on-air persona. And so some of those rumors are kind of circulating. Now we're getting more rumors, and the other rumors we're getting is you know, halt to his big push is because of John Cena. And apparently John Cena has told the higher-ups he isn't ready. So I don't know. Once again, this is all rumors. But it's so interesting. A guy like Baron Corbin, who they really were seemingly pushing to that, you know, main title picture, is no longer going to have that opportunity, Sean. I think it's kind of crazy. But then again, John Cena has done this before, I think.
Well, yeah, I think anybody that's naive to think that Cena has never caused someone to get de-pushed is, doesn't read the tea leaves very well. Obviously, the man has power. You know, it's just, it's the thing with Corbin is, it's so weird that they seemed really high on him, and then all of a sudden they're not, and then he's losing, and to lose the Money in the Bank briefcase like that, it only happened to one other guy without announcing it first, and we saw what happened to him, right? And then he really just became kind of nothing in wrestling because he went to GFW and just floundered. But, you know, it just, with Corbin, I mean, I feel like they have something there with him. Just, Cena's not wrong in that he's not ready to be champion right now. So, you know, does it mean that he needed to lose the briefcase right then? No. But that he needed to beat Jinder or whoever's going to hold the title after Jinder? No. But then, of course, then you also have Jinder as your champion, which sets a low threshold for what your champion needs to be, I guess.
I think that's sort of where this is probably coming from, is that you've already taken a chance on Jinder. You're still seeing how that pans out, apparently, post-SummerSlam. It's, and nothing against Jinder, because I think in the role he's been given, he's fine. But as far as in the ring and everything else, like, they really haven't let him branch out and try new things. I think that's really hurt him a lot. But if this is all he's capable of, then honestly, I'm sure we could be looking at this as maybe a mistake on WWE's part in the future. But I think where Cena's coming from is you don't want to take so many chances and then SmackDown is suddenly dropping in ratings again and nobody wants to watch the show because there's not a champion that people like, quote unquote, anymore. So, from any fan base, whether it's Marks or Smarks or whatever fancy term you want to throw around.
You know, I think this all boils down to Baron Corbin has just that attitude, and it's really an attitude that really rubs people the wrong way. And I think it's also kind of a situation where, really, let's be honest, we all know if he ever got the main title, it would not be something where he was going to have knockout, drag out, great matches. It was going to be okay matches for the most part. And I don't know. Who knows if they really wanted that or if they really were high on this guy. Somebody had to be, but I don't think everybody was. And John Cena's proven not to be one of them. I think also, you know, maybe Nikki thought he was cute or something like that. So John said, get rid of this kid. You know, I kind of like his music. It's kind of cool. It's got that, you know, heavy metal thing. And so, yeah. So.
Vince, kill this guy now.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear a JBL hat just so you know.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, real quickly, I think it all started when they gave him his new theme. I was going to be excited about it until I heard it. And now, Big Cass, I'm glad they fixed your music. Corbin, they really hate you. That music sucks. That's terrible. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about something that's not terrible. This is really good. Ric Flair apparently has gotten some better news and is apparently in a better situation. We all have heard several different things and reports about his health. What we do know for a fact is that he had an infection and that he's having some kidney problems. So those are some of the big contributors to the failing of his health. We also know that he is supposed to have surgery to be given a pacemaker. Which, you know, kind of sad to hear, you know, definitely shows Ric Flair's age. But we get this news and just a lot more positive vibes and information coming out of this whole Ric Flair situation, Paul. So I'm really happy. I'm glad this guy's doing better.
Yeah, it's absolutely great news. Especially there are tons of outpouring for support for the guy. And, you know, it's still too soon to lose Ric Flair. And we're probably going to be saying that even when he does bite it and whenever he does. Hopefully it's just from natural causes.
Yeah, always hate seeing this, but I'm glad that he's doing better, you know, and hopefully it stays that way. But like I said before, you know, the only thing that we can't fight with is Father Time. So whenever that time comes for all of us, it is what it is.
Sadly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, more wishes, prayers, and all that go out to Ric Flair. He's not out of the woods yet. He's still got a lot to go. But I want him to know that, you know, we're rooting for him for sure. So get better, Rick. Let's talk about something else. You know, someone else who needs all those wishes, hopes, and prayers, and that is Big Kaz. We were all concerned Monday night. We kind of reported this right after, you know, Raw went off the air, that Big Cass had some kind of problem with his leg. We weren't sure, but we thought it was kind of serious. And Paul, you definitely said it's got to be something serious because he wasn't putting any weight on that leg. Well, the reason it is because he had a torn ACL. Yeah, that's pretty sad because if you pay any attention to sports, you know that's an injury that's not exactly a quick come up, you know, from behind kind of thing. It's going to be something where it's going to take about 9 months for this guy to get back in the ring. And that sucks, but it's part of the game, and I hate to hear this. Sean, I mean, Big Cass just now started getting on this journey of being a single star. This is not good news for this guy. I feel bad for him.
Well, I just had to answer a fact-facing question asking me this guy this question. And you know what? It may not be the worst thing for him, honestly. It was started off really bad for him, and it probably wasn't going to get any better for him. You know, you were already getting comparisons to Test. You were getting, like, I don't care, I'm falling asleep during his matches. You know, it doesn't take Vince very long for him to get bored with you, and then you're really never going to go anywhere. So this kind of stops that before it can happen, and it sucks that he has to go through this injury. I'm not saying that I wish any ill injury on anyone. It's just perhaps this kind of puts things back on the drawing board or whatever, so that when he comes back, there's fresh thoughts, fresh ideas, and, you know, he... hopefully better for it, but I hate that he had to suffer this for that to happen or whatever, but I just feel like it may not have ended well for him if it just kept going.
I will say that there could be some good things to be had from this. Obviously, how long they drug out the Enzo feud did him zero favors, and I don't know exactly if they just didn't have anything lined up for him afterwards or what, but giving him a longer break here to sort of go back to the drawing board with this guy, rework it, whatever you want to do with him, might not have been the worst idea in the world. And I don't know. I mean, it really does suck, though, right? I mean, you get hurt and suddenly the opportunity you were given is gone. And now you have to come back and basically start over from ground, you know, space one and try to work your way back up to either where you were and hopefully surpass it and prove everybody wrong. But it really does suck because you never know if you're going to get that chance again, especially in WWE where the opportunities sort of dry up the longer you're gone and they sort of lose interest. And by the time you come back, they might not have a place for you anymore. And suddenly you're out of a job.
Yeah, that's just the risk that you have to take, you know, being out, being injured, and you don't really have a choice in the matter. It's just you have to go ahead and take care of your surgery, get better, rehab, and just hope that they didn't forget about you. Hope that they still care about your character and you know, start to move forward and do things with you. But that's still a big risk, you know, missing that much time. And you guys just pointed out all that correctly. So I hate to hear this. You know, I'm really hoping that Big Cass comes back and does some great things. The one thing I know is he needs to make a video singing the song "Working My Way Back Up to You, Babe," and just having a picture of the WB logo or the title. So we'll see it.
I support this decision 100%, by the way.
Yeah. You know, someone just tweeted out, say, hashtag W2M, sing this song on your way in your rehab. So, all right, well, we're going to jump into some rapid hits real quick here, guys. We've got several of them and some interesting news tips. Topics here, but we, you know, nothing to super super giant, so let's go and talk about them. Let's talk about the fact that WWE has banned something. That's right, they have banned the beach balls. Yeah, that's no longer allowed at WWE shows and any other poolside equipment.
How dare you.
It should be noted that this is unknown whether it was just for that episode of SmackDown or if it's going to stay in place going forward as of this moment. So there's hope if you enjoy a beach ball at a wrestling show, but why would you?
If I'm WWE, just ban it. You have got... Look, I'm all for having fun. I don't care if they do the beach ball. It's... I don't know. I remember on Raw when I was there with Gary, I was kind of offended just because the wrestlers have to deal with that, and I totally understand Cesaro going and popping the beach ball and everything else. A lot of people, it doesn't matter what you would have done, and they would have done the beach ball thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter who's out there or whatever, just because they want to. You know, there's also the case they made of what are you doing wrong if people are pulling out a beach ball and playing with it.
It's true. I mean, people still managed to sneak them in on SmackDown before, and they got immediately ejected if they got caught with them. So, pretty rough stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea. Yes, I know fans listening, you're probably like, "Well, that's not cool. We should have the right," but you know. Well, it's,
I mean,
you know,
Harry was pissed about it, so, or he was pissed about the fact that they were being used. So it was just funny to see the reactions of different people just in our chat, not to mention in every other like group or Twitter or anything else, of the thoughts of whether for or against the beach ball existing.
Yeah, this is definitely a polarizing figure in the world of wrestling. That is the beach ball. So, well, Dana Brooke had some sad news, and it's not about the beach balls being banned. It's about her boyfriend passing away. Dallas Big Country Carver was his name, and apparently he passed away this week choking on food in his home. This is just a bummer, and I hate to hear this kind of news. But she tried to make the best of it, and she has opened up a charity in his name, and it's for basically helping underprivileged children. So at least she's trying to make a positive out of a real huge negative.
Yeah, this was pretty sad. And the minute I finished reading, my heart just went out to her. Nobody should really have to suffer. I don't even think the guy was 30 yet, which I think is just the real crime. It's so, so nuts. But, best wishes is awful news.
Yeah, just, like, that's one of those, like, one day from another. Those are the absolute, like, worst. Hey, this is happening, and then how you just choke on your food, and,
that's all she wrote.
For her. Yeah, it really teaches you about how life can just be so cruel.
Mm-hmm.
These kind of news stories terrify me, especially with the choking ones, because I think about sometimes, you know, there'll be times I'll be at the house by myself and I'll be eating and not think anything of it. Well, I often think, what if I did choke? I mean, can I run to the neighbor's house fast enough if I can't, you know, do the self-Heimlich maneuver? You know, can you do it? You don't think about it till you hear these stories. And I worry about my daughter, you know, because sometimes I'll let her go in there and watch TV and eat breakfast, and I'll go in the other room and do something, and you just don't know. You know, it's so now I feel like I've got to be everywhere all the time. So I got to be in there with my daughter, and I also can't eat by myself. I'll be at the neighbor's house. Can I eat my breakfast here? I'm scared. I heard about this guy passing away. So anyway, you can't be paranoid, people, but this is such a terrible news.
I used to do that too. Like, I never for a while, for a long while, especially after watching my grandma, like my dad had to do the Heimlich on her one night after at dinner, I would not eat without having some kind of liquid to make sure I could wash down whatever it was in case it got stuck in my throat or, you know, whatever. Just because I got scared that that could happen to me, you know. And, of course, I was much younger then, but still, it's that happens to you. Like, you start thinking about things differently when you've seen that happen, you know. So it's it's a scary thing. Like, you don't have control over a lot at that point, and you're supposed to try to stay calm, and it's like, how do you stay calm in that situation?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like swallowing water when you're in the pool or in the ocean or something like that, and you just goes down the wrong pipe, and you think, I'm drowning, I'm going to die. you start to panic, and it's a scary situation. So, but you know, we're kind of joking around, but really, honestly, Dana Brooke, we definitely hope you know, prayers and wishes go out to you as well. Let's talk about Low Ki. There's something Low Ki can't control, and that's what Global Force Wrestling does, and he's not happy about it. Apparently, they had told him that they would allow him to eventually get a chance to be the world champion, and they're taking their sweet time on it. So Low Ki says, I want my release. And apparently, it was granted, but we've yet to see it actually be taking place. So, wow.
I've read stuff that say that GFW knew what they were getting into with him and signed him to a short-term deal, a 6-month contract, and they were going to see what happened when that expired in October, and apparently this happens and just sort of proves them right. So, I mean, I kind of feel for him. He was being positioned to be something for them, and then they immediately sort of take it away from him and decide to go a different direction, and I mean, obviously that's GFW's prerogative, but having a big hiss fit and making a whole bunch of noise about it and all this, that, and the other isn't really, I think, the right way to go about trying to comport yourself in this situation. So, you know, me feeling bad for him can only go so far in this situation.
Yeah. And this is weird just because I thought the X Division was about No Limits. Right. And we've seen the X Division guys, I'm guessing the option C thing no longer exists because, I mean, that was that whole point of that, is so that you could have an X Division guy be a world champion. But I get it from his perspective, right? If you're not aiming to be the world champion, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're telling you outright that no, you're not going to be, then why be there? So I don't blame him at all.
Yeah, it's hard not to blame him. You know, I look at this as a situation where Low Ki also kind of sees that, you know, the management's not exactly in line with the way he's thinking, and maybe some of the way some of the guys backstage think that management's handling things. And, you know, he's going to do what's best for him, and that's, hey, what you've got to do in business. So I just hope, you know, things work out okay with him, and they do it right by him if he really does win out of the company.
Well, and the company's also kind of steering more towards, like, young wrestlers. Maybe not in the figurehead section, but in the wrestling section, they kind of are. And they're sort of getting rid of all the, like, older guys and former GFW dudes and all that kind of stuff. And they're focusing on bringing people in from other companies or younger talent, and, you know, like you said, maybe Low Ki sees that writing on the wall and goes, well, how long am I really going to have to be viable here?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, he's only got so many more years on that, you know, career of his when it comes to just wrestling. Now, I think he has plenty of more years sitting in a voice booth, you know, doing credit card commercials and things like that. I mean, I could just imagine that voice. So, anyway,
do you charge Low Ki?
I know, right? How much does he, you know, for his booking fee to do a voiceover? I'm really curious about that. I don't know. Let's talk about something that's really kind of a fun thing. Lucha Underground just got a TV deal in India. But what the most interesting thing about this whole process and the way the landscape is on international deals, Lucha Underground actually has more than Ring of Honor and Global Force Wrestling, and even New Japan. So it's kind of funny, a company that has so many international deals on the TV, not even sure they're going to have a next season.
Well, I mean, that's good, right? I mean, they have the Netflix thing. They have, you know, India. They have, what, Canada, France. So, I mean, you need this, right? The interesting thing is that they always kind of keep starting them at one, season one, and then working their way forward. So you're having to watch. I mean, for those people that never seen it, that's kind of cool, right? If you're into that, you're getting plays to season one and two. But by the time they get caught up to season three, it may not exist anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but good on them. They always wanted to show this as a TV series, and that's what they're getting to do.
Yeah, and it's just the more international deals thing is really interesting to me. Clearly, there's somewhat of a demand for it abroad, and I'm really surprised that hasn't maybe played into the fact that maybe we should do another season and keep this ball rolling and see what else can happen.
I would be game.
I think it's also because Lucha Underground is really good TV. If you want to set it as its own TV series, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch it in this one season setting and understand what's happening and watch it like you would a TV show or a sci-fi show or whatever. Whereas, you know, normal wrestling, you kind of can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it sets itself up better to have more distribution than the other guys do.
And so I think Netflix for them was such a huge deal. And maybe if they ever lose El Rey or something like that, them switching to that platform solo, I think could be a really big deal for not only Netflix, who has said they want to take more risks and there's not really a bigger risk around them, maybe pro wrestling, but Lucha, I think, just fits a binge-worthy TV show just because it is very compelling.
Yeah, I wonder if Hulu would think about, you know, grabbing them or something. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, you'd have to go to a Netflix or you know, if Showtime or HBO or something like that stepped in. Somebody that has a big budget that can keep the show the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about something that's kind of cool as well. AAA is going to have Triple Mania this year, and it is going to be free on Twitch.
That's kind of a big deal, right? It's another promotion jumping on board the Twitch train that Wrestle Circus sort of started. And I mean, if this ends up taking off, I mean, maybe you have yourself a new venue to go through instead of YouTube, which sort of became a problem and may or may not have been rectified. We don't know yet.
Hey, this is good. Like, you know, hey, be available for people to see. More people can see you. You're free. Twitch is already there. People are on it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Wrestle Circus kind of already set that precedent of you can't have wrestling on this thing. And hey, Twitch is international. So, you mean, not only will you probably have Latino people watching this and people from Mexico, you don't know who could be watching and going, oh man, I want more of this.
That's true. Really, really true. I think it's a good idea, too, because, you know, like you said, Sean, so we'll leave it at that. Neverweight Open Championship is, of course, held by Suzuki here, and he'll actually be having his first United States match. I'm getting all crazy. But he hasn't wrestled in the United States in 25 years. That's the big thing here. 25 years since Suzuki's actually wrestled in the States. So that's going to be fun. That'll actually be taking place at Ring of Honor show. That's right, Death Before Dishonor. So I'll be looking forward to that. And, you know, also, to be noted, Kushida will also be a part of those shows.
It's really cool, right? I think Minoru Suzuki's really the last big star that hasn't been shipped over here by New Japan for some matches. And, I mean, certainly it makes Death Before Dishonor out there. I think they're doing that in Vegas still. You know, a great reason to go out there.
Yeah, that's cool. I think it's really awesome for the people going to this event. They get to see Minoru Suzuki there. And, hey, why not? If you can bring him, that's a huge coup for New Japan, for ROH, all that. That's awesome.
We got a couple of promotions teaming up. We have Beyond Wrestling and Preston City Wrestling out of the UK. They'll be teaming up and doing some Powerbomb TV stuff. That way they can get their content out there to their fans.
So this is really interesting because I believe Beyond for sure airs their they do live streaming through FlowSlam. I don't know if that deal is still in place now that they have this one, but this is a video on demand service for both. I think Preston City Wrestling is also on FlowSlam, but I can't remember. But either, I know Beyond had that falling out with YouTube after the whole monetization thing went south on them. So this is really kind of cool for them and adds a couple big name promotions to Powerbomb TV, which I think they've sort of been lacking because really it's been geared towards much smaller independents. And now you have some of the bigger ones with name value out there jumping on board with this. And that's really cool.
Yeah, that is good that there's always another competitor in the market. I think, you know, Beyond or Powerbomb TV was actually there before FlowSlam, and then FlowSlam came and just kind of rode that wave and took major competition and everything else away. And Powerbomb TV was kind of left with whoever hadn't signed with FlowSlam. And it's good to see that they're getting some kind of those mid-tier guys to sort of be able to stay afloat with that, right? Because you don't want to start something and then it dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I agree with that as well. One last thing we're going to talk about here, guys, and that is, of course, something that everybody likes to hear us talk about. We're going to talk about Paige and Alberto Patron. And I know you couldn't wait, could you? Well, just to let everybody know really quickly, all the charges were dropped when it came to their domestic dispute case. So just, you know, make sure you know they are dropped. No worries. Don't fear. But Roger Goodell, we'll talk about this later in the press conference. So
could you imagine? Like he says, oh, well, there's probable cause of an avenue. So
yeah,
you guys just keep being suspended. Paige did lose an uncle this week though.
So. Ooh, that's not good.
I think I saw something where WWE might have retweeted it, too. So maybe they're not that mad at her.
Who knows anymore?
Yeah, who knows?
I put this in here so that way everybody knows we will never have to talk about this again.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Now watch them, like, next week something happens.
Yeah, something else happens.
Yeah, another sex video. Well, there you go. So, hopefully this time it has clowns. Anyway,
there was more leaks, just wasn't Paige.
That's right.
We don't need to talk about them every time they happen. It's just they're there. You guys can go look at it if you want.
I'll just say this: you'll have a riot of a time. So, all right. Well, let's move on and let's go talk about some Lucha Underground tonight. That's right. I'm excited about talking about it because we had the Cuarto Cup to get into. So let's do that now.
Oh, I don't have the Lucha Underground thing. I forgot.
This week opens with a mask versus mask match. A sexy star takes on Viano, who the crowd at home already knows who this is. It is Cortez Castro, but the crowd there and in storyline, nobody really knows. This doesn't even last a minute. Star comes sort of out the gate running wild. Joey Ryan comes out, trips up Viano, and rips his mask off, revealing it to be Cortez, and then goes on the big spiel about how he told everybody who it was. And this ends up leading to a brawl between those two. Ryan, however, hits a low blow and manages to escape. I I don't really know what's happening anymore with this, but this, for a stipulation that really should matter a whole lot more, Lucha just kind of continues to sort of disregard it as a plot device.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed in this. I thought they could have done some better things. I kind of felt like if, they were going to be stupid about it or silly about it, then they should have done something more comical, especially with Joey Ryan, but it is what it is. I mean, it's just something that I really, honestly, the first thing in a long time that I could really say, Lucha, you kind of didn't do that well.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that entirely. And this, hopefully this leads to something much bigger for the overall storyline, because Cortez is involved in whatever plot's going on here with Cop Lady and all that stuff. So
it's too bad that we can't have crossovers in wrestling companies, because I would love to see Breeze and Fandango try to figure out some of these cases. So,
talking about crossovers, this is kind of well-timed for Lucha Underground and maybe done so on purpose in a way nowadays. With who's in charge of both AAA and Lucha, but Johnny Mundo comes in to meet Dario Cuerto. He has his agent with him, and basically Mundo is upset about the big brawl happening last week because he could have been hurt, and that would have affected his title match and his career and all these other things. And he tells Dario he has other offers on the tables, and he's willing to walk away with the championship in tow. So Dario, in an attempt to sort of make amends, bans everybody from ringside. And if they do get involved, they will be fired. And, of course, this also includes Worldwide Underground, which Johnny has a bit of a freak out about. But Dario sort of pushes Mundo into it by saying, you don't need those guys. You're a great wrestler. You're my champion. You can do this. So Johnny leaves with a threat saying that if anything happens to come along and ruin my night, I'm going to walk. And then takes his leave to get ready for his championship match night. And I don't know. Whenever we talk about Impact later on, this could make for some fun parallels.
It honestly does. You're right, and I thought of the same exact thing. But this is filmed how long ago? I mean, this is filmed like last fall. They filmed this a long time ago, so I know they don't have any of those, real honest to God truths of what's actually happening now. But what is interesting to me, though, is the story, and I kind of like the idea where they're going here, because, he's playing that kind of character, like it's me or the highway, and if I can't, be treated fairly, even if I don't treat anyone else fairly, then I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. I like it okay. It don't really bother me much. I will say that, the fact that it's a great parallel also with, the Brock Lesnar thing. So they got kind of lucky with some coincidences here of how this all lined up.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. Before we get to that title match, though, we have to talk about this absolutely wonderful match between Prince Puma and Pentagon Dark. This is the finale for the Cueto Cup. Match goes 10 minutes, and this is maybe one of the best fast-paced sprints, easy enough for me to say, that I've seen all year. Hard-hitting, lots of big dives, lots of big moves, just really everything that draws you in, and the crowd bites on this super hard the whole way through, just because, literally, this is probably the two biggest stars that Lucha Underground has made since the doors have opened, and the crowd just ate this up the entire time. Puma finally ends up hitting a super top rope Hurricane Rana that really floors Pentagon, and that allows him to go up and hit the 630 for the win to win the Cueto Cup. This is just incredible. A wonderful, wonderful match.
This was a hard match for me to watch, and a match that I just thoroughly loved. And why was it hard for me to watch then? Well, it's because I love both these guys. I'm such a big fan of Pentagon Dark and Puma. How can you not love this guy? So athletic, offers you everything under the sun when it comes to wrestling matches. They put on a great show. Something I think is definitely something that you have to pay attention to. And if you like good wrestling, well, then there you go. All those great high spots, everything that they put in place. So, but I think Puma is the right guy to win. And I think it makes more sense, storylines and all that. But Pentagon Dark would have been fun to see win this match as well.
I agree, of course, and I forgot to mention, of course, two things. One, Puma is looking to Vampiro a lot during this match and even looks to him before he gives him the finisher, sort of as a continue to tease out that relationship. Vampiro gives him the thumbs down sort of thing like you see in gladiatorial games. There's also the story there, of course, with Pentagon and Vampiro and Puma all tied up into this. And Puma sort of vanquishing the last of his demons before essentially now coming full circle to challenge for the Lucha Underground title again in Ultima Lucha 3, Ultima Lucha 3, whatever you want to call it. Puma will be there in the main event, but we have to figure out who his opponent's going to be because Johnny Mundo's taking on Rey Mysterio in the main event. And Dario comes out to give Puma the cup and presents it to him. And it's a very quick celebration because he wants him to move along so we can see Mundo and Rey Mysterio go head-to-head. And this leads to our main event. Of course, they get a long time here, which explains why the first match was so short, partially. Obviously, it shouldn't have been what it was. But either way, Johnny Mundo and Rey Mysterio are having this absolutely stellar match. Mundo, however, decides it's time to go the extra mile to win this because Rey Mysterio really has his number, I think, for a good portion of the match. He grabs the belt and goes to use it, but here comes Dominic, who trips up, who grabs the belt, walks into the ring, and then sort of spears Mundo out of his boots. I was actually really impressed, and has to make a run for it because security comes to try to haul him off. Rey Mysterio then hits the 619 in a big frog splash, but Dario comes out to pull the referee out of the ring because he's trying to protect Mundo and his championship and his promotion and all this now. Gets in there and ends up slapping the crap out of Mysterio. Mysterio hits a 619 on Dario. All the distractions, though, allow Mundo to lay him out with the belt and then hit the end of the world to retain. This was fine, right? I think you get to, this season especially, I feel like Lucha has really relied on the interference trope to keep things moving. And ultimately, that's okay, because this is very much more of a TV show than a wrestling show, if you ask me. But I don't know, whenever you have a really great match going on, it's kind of hard to stomach it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff here that I think is, you know, kind of fun and exciting. But then, like you said, the interference stuff has become more of a problem. And I don't know why they're stuck on it or why they want to do it, because for a long time they were doing fine with just honestly not doing it. But they're at this point now, so we'll have to figure a way of talking them out of it the next time. I think that, you know, the storyline made sense here, though. I appreciated you having Cuerto get involved and really causing, you know, Johnny Impact, or whatever is this guy's, Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Mundo here.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It aggravates me because all the different names they give him, I mean, it's just like, man, my God. I mean, we'll talk more about it when we get into Impact, but now I'm just going to call him like every name he has because, my God. But anyway, Mundo here and Lucha Underground. I think, you know, he's a character that people care about, they overfollow, and then when you have the evil boss jump in the match to save him and all that takes place here, it rounds out to be a good story. But I'm with you. The interference stuff does kind of take away from what I think that they used to do in the past, and that is kind of find more creative ways.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, this might be because of budget cuts or whatever, and they have to sort of rely on this now. But I don't really mind it for some throwaway stuff, because obviously you have to keep the story going somehow. But when you have a great match, and especially something that you built up so long to be this great epic clash, and sort of have it go down this way, it leaves a bit of a bad taste in your mouth. So, but I mean, we get to see Mundo and Prince Puma go at it once again in Ultima Lucha, which should be awesome. So I'm really looking forward to that and bringing it back full circle, right? It's the first main event of Lucha Underground, and now it gets to be a really big show, a really big match on the biggest show they have. So that's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I was, you know, pretty thrilled with it myself.
Yeah, and that's Lucha Underground for the week.
All right. Well, we are going to move on from there then, and we are going to jump into some Global Force Wrestling. That's right, we're talking Impact next.
TNA Impact Wrestling.
All right, so Impact Wrestling this week, we obviously know the big thing that's happening. That's the gauntlet for the gold match for the Global Force Wrestling world title. They open, however, with some of the American Top Team stuff that's been going on since last week. You get to see Dan Lambert arguing with Jeff Jarrett, which we saw on Destination X, and lots of pushing and shoving. And James Storm shows up to sort of back Jeff Jarrett. And then we cut to Jim Cornette meeting with the roster, telling everybody that Anthem can make them into big stars, but you have to put in the work and there's no free rides. And basically, it's just given the big rah-rah speech to go out there and really go out there and kill it in the main event to prove that you belong and to be the GFW champion. And even take a little bit of a shot at Patron here, saying he doesn't want to see anybody's personal life plastered all over TMZ anymore. So Patron is still under contract, so I don't know how that's going to work out. But and that leads us to our first match, OVE taking on the Heat Seekers. This is another squash. OVE looking much more dominant in all this.
Yeah, you know, I'll start with OVE real quick here. They are definitely dominant. They're trying to get them over as much as possible. I still can't get past their look. They look like indie stars. I don't know what it is, and that sounds like a hateful thing for me to say, right? And I'm not trying to be hating on them already, but I just kind of look at them a lot of times, and I'm like, man, either they're really young or they just don't have that look of a TV superstar wrestler. I don't know. So that's just my personal opinion. Who's to know what really they are? But I think that they look good here, and you know, they did what they did, you know, that's get over. And so I think people will get more behind them as they go on week in and week out. And I just got to ask you, Paul, the whole Bobby Lashley and MMA thing, that drives me up the wall. Does it drive you up the wall?
I don't mind Lashley having the background. I mind them bringing a whole bunch of extracurriculars into this and sort of muddying up what is already a pretty successful act. And we're going to talk about this a lot later because the ending kind of bugs me because I don't know where they're going with this. And I don't know. Like it's that sticks in my craw how they end it.
I know. I'm with you on that. So and the Cornette thing, it's fun to have Cornette. He's kind of a, you know, the right authority figure, I guess, because he plays that authority figure so well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's, you know, I just kind of thought it was a really weird at the same point. But hey, it worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Cornette, you have Eli Drake and Mr. Adonis showing up to sort of try to play up to Jim that, you know, they're friends and they should, you know, work together here and maybe move Eli Drake out of the number one spot. So Cornette agrees and said, all right, I'll make you number two. So take that. and then we cut to a Taryn Terrell promo where she explains her actions from last week, her big attack on Gail Kim. She kind of feels a little miffed here, if you ask me, right? I mean, she got snubbed from Gail Kim's Hall of Fame induction. Kim didn't thank her, basically left her out. And Taryn Terrell basically takes entire credit for elevating Gail Kim to being a Hall of Fame inductee. And saying Kim will lie and cheat to, you know, do basically get what she wants, even, you know, on her husband and all this other stuff. And really, I think just sort of lays into her. This was okay, right? I mean, you have Kim come out later and this almost leads to a brawl before Jeremy Borash has to hold him back. And I get where they're going, right? They're sticking with a feud that they know has captured attention before. They know that they can put on good to decent to great matches, I guess, depending on whatever mood they're both in or, you know, how the moon is. But it's not really speaking to me anymore.
Yeah, it's really not to me either. I'm kind of done with it. And Gail Kim, I mean, retiring sounds good, you know. It's not about you, though. It's about the fact that sometimes they just put terrible things around Gail Kim and expect her to just make it look better.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of the way it feels again, and I kind of hate that. I also hate the fact that Tara and Terrell, it was probably meant to be this way, but man, just so annoying. Her voice was just way annoying. So I was ready to be done with this segment ASAP, and it just felt like it dragged on and on. We'll see with Gail Kim and all this, the way it shakes out. And of course, Gail Kim would probably come out looking great, but it is what it is on that, you know. And I do want to say Eli Drake and the whole interaction with Cornette, that was funny. I really dug that. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. We get some video highlights of GFW's live shows from the Northeast earlier this month. You get a whole ton of promos about guys talking about how they're going to win the Gauntlet for the Gold. And then this leads us to a couple of things. First, Lashley and the American Top Team crew have a meeting with Jim Cornette. Lashley's still pissed. He thinks he should be the champion, you know, especially because he was about to be given the title. Cornette says, you know, you have to go out there and earn it. And this leads the Mr. Lambert to just sort of go over the top and start laying into Cornette. And Lashley sort of starts to agree with Cornette almost, and like, you're right, I should have to prove myself. And then Cornette and Lambert will kind of look at him and go, well, you know what, you have a decision to make about really, I guess, whose side you're on in all of this. And this will lead to something much more later. But first we get a Taya Valkyrie package. Taya is now coming to Impact, which should be really cool. I'm a big fan of hers. And then we have the Grado goodbye segment. And so you have Grado and Joseph Park come out to the ring, and Grado says, you know, he wasn't going to cry, but he's getting emotional because the fans are all here and supporting him and all this other stuff. And they basically go over everything we've seen the last couple of weeks. He's tried to get married. It hasn't worked out. Joseph Park's tried to help him out. He thanks him. And basically, you end up having Laurel Van Ness come out. She's not in the wedding dress anymore. She says she's been the happiest she's ever been in her life. And wants to thank Grado for sort of changing her and all this stuff. And this brings out Kongo Khan to sort of try to escort him out after she ends up putting a big kiss on his cheek. And Shara comes out to make the save because obviously him and Grado are buddies. And this is leading somewhere, right? Like, I don't know where, because like Grado has to leave the country now. But where how's Shara going to get anything from it? Like, what's, I don't know.
You know, this is like the story that never ends, but it's a tease. Mm-hmm. And it tease you and they tease you, and then it just keeps going on and on and on, and you're just like, okay, you can only do it so much before I lose interest. And I've kind of lost interest. And yeah, I mean, it's great, you know, Van Ness comes out, you know, looking a lot better and saying she wants to marry Grado, and then all the other stuff takes place. But I don't know. It just didn't really excite me. I really just don't care about it. And Grado is a fun guy, but this whole thing hasn't just really worked out perfect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been parts of this I've really enjoyed. Like, Grado courting Laurel was great, but really, I guess, in the lead up to what I guess was supposed to be something meaningful here, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You didn't really get any big payoff other than Laurel just saying, well, re-agreeing to marry him, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't have a clue where this is going.
I mean, the only way I would take it if I was them is, you know, have the wedding be funny and things like that with Grado, and just see the way he handles himself, you know. So,
well, that's fair enough. So Cornette has a meeting with Eddie Edwards and talks about their time in Ring of Honor together, and then sort of puts him over and sort of, I guess, picks him to win the world title tonight. And then we get an LAX promo about how they're sort of backing Low-Ki, since Homicide isn't around anymore. He's controlling border traffic or something like that. And then we get to the Gauntlet for the Gold match. 20 guys. This match goes almost an hour, so I'm not going to get into a ton of the extracurriculars, but Eddie Edwards is your number one guy. Eli Drake is number two. You obviously have Low-Ki at 20, and then you have a bunch of stuff here in the middle. basically, the big things you want to take away from this, Lashley ends up getting tossed out by Moose, which feels like that's probably going to lead to something. And then you have Eli Drake coming out the winner after managing to make it to the end with Eddie Edwards, and ends up eliminating him after an air raid crash to pin him. So Eli Drake is your new GFW World Champion. But the Eli Drake has been hit or miss for me. And I'm okay with GFW taking a chance on him because this is obviously a guy that's been here for a while. And maybe they're trying to reward that. And they clearly have thought very highly of him, I think, since the whole name change has happened. So this isn't... It's a surprise, but I don't think it's this massive surprise, you know? And... I don't know. Like, the match is fine, right? It's nothing special. It's nothing great. It's good. And I think it moved along at a nice pace, which I also appreciated, too.
Yeah, it was at a decent pace, and I think they were really trying to get as many people in the ring as possible at one point during this. You know, and that's fine. But that, once again, it goes back to, you know, the fact that... I don't know. It just doesn't all work out grand, even though they have a formula that works out to their best effort. You know, I look at this match and say, you know, hey, I had some fun things taking place. I love the huge guys getting involved. You know, I know that one guy was named Richard something, but I just thought that whole interaction between him and EC3 was hilarious.
I believe you mean Dick Justice.
Dick Justice. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I don't know why I remembered Richard, but hey, same thing, Dick, Richard, whatever. But those guys, him and the, what's the other heavyweight guy, the 400 pounder, what's his name?
Was that Congo Kong?
No, not Congo Kong, the other guy that looks...
Mario? Is it Mario Bocara? Is it that? I have
the big, you know, the guy wearing the big blue moo-moo looking thing, and the I don't know, whatever it is.
There's a lot of guys in here where I'm sort of like, who are you again?
I know, it's hard. That's why I wanted to remember his name when I was watching it, and I couldn't remember his name. But anyway, it was kind of fun to see those guys get in this match and mix it up a little bit. But so nothing too super special. It was okay. I'm a little bit different. I like Eli Drake, and I'm not saying he's the best wrestler. He's not. I like his personality. I think he brings something to the table, and I think that's exactly what he did to, you know, when he interacted with Jim Cornette and things like that. But I get where some people may not be all that interested in Eli Drake, and, you know, it is what it is. He's a champion. They're trying something new, and I'm okay with that. I'm a lot happier with that than signing some guy off the street that, you know, 45 years old, had a big name in WWE, and they're just using him because, well, he's had a name in WWE, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the positive thing outside of this. And I wanted to mention one more thing before we, you know, we're done with this. What was the segment before the match?
Cornette and Eddie Edwards, or the LAX stuff?
The LAX stuff. Now the Ed Edwards thing is funny to me, only because of the fact that is he supposed to be the next Golden Boy or something? Why is Cornette, you know, sucking up to him? Oh, you're our champion if you win.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's kind of weird. And the other thing is the LAX stuff. Man, they were getting kind of graphic. They're like talking about, hey, you know, how's my prostitution business going?
Right.
Oh, it's going wonderful. My drug business. Oh, it's excellent. Great, great, guys. Okay, now it's just up to you to go win that. That wrestling title. Okay. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny that they're putting that kind of stuff on this a channel. They're not even allowed to use the word ass. I mean, so you could talk about prostitution and all this other stuff, but you can't use that word.
Right.
Weird to me. Right. But anyway, just had to throw that in there before we got done. Cause I know, you know, on Friday or Saturday, I'd be thinking about it. I didn't talk about that. Now I'm mad. So I did. There you go, Paul. So Eli Drake is our world champion for GFW. I know you're not thrilled. I have higher aspirations. I think that the guy could do something that's not grand, but I think that he offers something. And it's a new change, and it's not old hat. So
I agree, especially since this was the debut for Mr. Johnny Impact. And for a while in this, I felt like this was going to go to him, just because, as you mentioned, they immediately get that have that WWE cachet to them. So I wouldn't have been surprised. But they go with the homegrown guy, which is a nice change of pace here. And then afterwards, you have Lashley's American Top Team guys. They attack another ref, and Lashley sort of has to pull him off. And Dan Lambert gets a little maybe over-exuberant and ends up shoving Scott D'Amore, and Lashley ends up having to pull him off, and then they all leave. And this is what's kind of irritating me, is that you're having Lashley essentially turn his back on what I think makes him different, and that is not only being the guy who will beat everybody's ass at really any given time. Now he's got, you know, people doing it for him, but now he's pulling them off, trying to like change his colors in a way. And I understand maybe wanting to freshening up the character and whatnot, but I think that's what really helped Lashley be so different from everybody, is that he was your monster that legitimately could go out there and get the job done at any time. And it feels like he's kind of losing that luster.
Mm. I'm right there with you. I felt that same way. There's no reason for a guy that supposedly is the most dominant wrestler in the company to need six guys with him protecting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just makes no sense. So I hope with, you know, those signing, or excuse me, the addition of all this stuff doesn't really screw him over. But I look at that and I'm just not thrilled about all that. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, really quick, Johnny. What is it on this show?
Johnny Impact.
Impact. It should be easy to remember. Johnny Impact. How many times have I asked this question? But the Lucha Underground contract allows them to do. I'm just a little surprised that they allow them to do this stuff when they wouldn't let some other guys.
So the really interesting part now is that Vampiro is in charge of both Lucha Underground and in charge of AAA, and. Okay. That's how the deal is working here, is the AAA exchange, because the whole blow up with Mundo and all that was a work and all these other things. So, and I would assume with maybe Lucha Underground still sort of in limbo, even though we talked about something earlier in the show that maybe isn't, or shows that it isn't as much in limbo as we all think it is. It's really neat that this is happening, but I think that's how this is happening, is because mm-hmm. Vampiro is just in charge of the two sides of the coin here, so he can make the decision.
Yeah, exactly. So I appreciate you explaining that again. I think you had told me that before, and probably on air. Mm-hmm. It just eluded me, so this makes sense now, and I'm excited. You know, hey, Impact's getting more talent, and that's a really good thing. Really happy for them. But yeah, I guess that pretty much concludes our Impact talk here, right, Paul?
It sure does. Next week is the beginning of the Eli Drake era, so we'll just have to see how that goes down.
That's right. I'll know one thing. It's Eli Drake. Oh, anyway, I just have to say that. I wish I could say my name like that. Gary Vaughn. You know, wouldn't it be nice? But I just don't have that same ring to it.
Too many syllables.
I know. Gosh darn it. All right, well, enough about me being sad that I can't do that. Let's go ahead and talk about one last thing, and that is about crowning a superstar of the week. Yes, that's right. Let's go ahead and do that right after this, guys. All right. Well, maybe Sean is right there with us. I'm hoping he, you know, is on the other end of this.
Yeah, I got a little nervous there too.
Yeah, so I think, you know, just in case we are having some issues or anything else audio-wise, I think we can go ahead and just jump into this thing really quickly here, Paul. We don't need all the flares and the diamonds and all that. Let's go ahead and talk about the first guy on this list was 1 point, and that is Almas.
Yes, Andrade Cien Almas earns our first point for the week, mostly due to just to the outstanding opener he had with Johnny Gargano at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Just a standout performance and a phenomenally well-worked match on both guys' account, but almost gets the win, so he gets the point.
Yeah, I was really excited about that match. I thought it really brought something to the table. And, you know, he's one of those guys that you look at and you say, man, you know, really, do you have, you know, what it takes to really make me happy and to, you know, really give me everything that I want? Well, yeah, he does, and he proved it to you in this. And I think it's one of those matches that I think a lot of us, you know, We're not sure if we'd get it, but I think he definitely gave it to us, and so there you go. All right, well, let's talk about the second guy on this list that I think, you know, is kind of funny that he's at this spot, but that is Brock Lesnar, who got 2 points from us.
Yeah, this one, we debated about this list for a while just because there was so much great stuff this week, but Brock Lesnar finds himself with 2 points, a phenomenal main event at SummerSlam, really helped boost him to this, and as well as him winning the match for the Universal title. But he only gets 2 because really the match wasn't about him, but we reward winners around here. So Brock Lesnar, enjoy your 2 points.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, once again, the storyline revolving around that whole thing, I keep saying it's Braun Strowman. Brock wins, though, so that's why he gets that kind of love. Now we got 3 points going over to Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, the two-thirds of the Shield reunion here win the tag team titles at SummerSlam. They defend them again on Raw. Both of those matches were quite good. So that earns them 3 points here, and a big high five from me because I've been a fan of this entire story so far.
Yeah, and I know you have. And, you know, once again, I mean, I think this is a great showing of a tag team. I know we talk about the Usos, and I think they had a great match too. You know, of course, at SummerSlam, but you know, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins did something on both nights, Raw and on this show, that were, you know, pretty cool on the SummerSlam. So, really happy to see all that take place. All right, well, let's talk about the next one, and that is, of course, 4 points going to Asuka.
Yeah, Asuka retains the NXT Women's Championship against Ember Moon in another absolute dynamite of a match. So she gets the 4 points there, and I just, you know, we really can't oversell that match. No, it is wonderful. If you haven't seen it yet, go watch it.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to miss out on that. And, of course, we will talk about the person that got crowned Superstar of the Week and who gets 5 points this week, and that person is... drumroll, Prince or Puma.
Yeah, Ricochet slash Prince Puma here gets the 5 points. A absolutely stellar match with Pentagon Dark on Lucha Underground this week. Wins him the Cueto Cup. He's going to Ultima Lucha to challenge for the Lucha Underground title. And, I mean, just a phenomenal, phenomenal. One of the best matches we've seen all week. And just... the title or the cup and winning the title opportunity just sort of put him over the top for us. So he gets the 5.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, a match that you have to go check out.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much fun to watch. And I think Prince Puma and, you know, did his thing and won. But, you know, Pentagon Dark definitely was a great opponent and really put this into the next gear. So congratulations to Puma, though, on being Superstar of the Week. There you go. So. Well, that rounds out our show tonight. We thank everyone for coming and checking us out tonight. Of course, want to give special thanks out to FromWomanMania.com as well as LastWordOnSports.com. If you want to go find all our content, make sure you go to W2Mnet.com itself and go ahead and get us rate and review and subscribe wherever you're finding our podcast, though. If you're finding us through Apple Podcasts, if you're finding us on Podbeam, heck, on YouTube, I don't care where it's at. Just hit that subscribe button. And also don't forget to, you know, make sure you put those 5 stars on there and make sure you let people know what you think about us. All that great stuff just helps us get a little bit more exposure, lets people know about us. And of course, they can also find the show just as easy as you did. Of course, you know, once again, you know, just to make sure you do know this content, we have, of course, all the review shows out there for you guys. It's all WWE stuff like 205 Live, NXT, of course, Raw, SmackDown Live. All that great stuff is out there and available for you guys to go check out besides our normal episodes of Wrestling to the Max. And I don't want you to forget, that's right, after Raw, we're going to have the Mae Young Classics content come out. So I know you guys are probably going to be watching that. You need to watch it. But another thing you need to do is after you're done watching it, you need to go listen to the special awesome show that we have taking place, which includes Paul and, of course, Harry Broadhurst and Patrick Ketza. That's going to give you all the details on all their thoughts on each of those matches and the tournament itself. And they're going to be doing some great shows coming your way. So I want you guys to have your eyes peeled. And we'll definitely let you know when we actually have those come out. But just beware. Those shows are coming out, and they're going to be so much fun to listen to because these guys have a wealth of education and knowledge on a lot of these young ladies, and it's just going to be a great time, and I'm going to definitely be tuning in so I can learn a little bit more about them. So, but yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Lots of plugs here, but we just, you know, want to make sure all our, you know, bases are covered and everything. Of course, once again, I am Gary Vaughn. He is Paul Leeser, and he is Sean Garmer, and we hope you guys have a wonderful night.
Have a good one, guys.